Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? Let us shout for joy, for we have captivated the heart of God. Do you know who is the one focused on you most at this moment? It's the Lord Himself. He's very happy that you draw near to Him. There are many people in the world, and many people love the Lord very much. But no matter what, nobody can replace you and me. There is no one who can replace you in satisfying the Lord. The satisfaction and happiness you can give to the Lord are unique. For the Lord has the deepest personal love for all of us. There is His expression of love to all of us, a very special arrangement for everybody. He wants to have the closest personal relationship with everyone. How He wants to pour out Himself to love every one of us, so that every single one can gain the Lord entirely. When I think of the Lord who can have the most personal relationship with us, I find the Lord is so amazing. He is the greatest, and because of His infinity, He is able to love us one by one, and He loves us meticulously. His love to us is so gentle and tender. Brothers and sisters, we have to shout for joy, for we can gain the Lord entirely. And Abba's and the Lord's personal love to us is the most unique and the deepest. Let us think deeply. Isn't it so wonderful and so blessed? We have to sing and praise Him, and we have to enjoy and enter into His personal love. I would like to sing a very, very precious hymn. Is in Songs of Love, Song 4, The Lord's Personal Love to Me. We will sing the first to the third stanzas.
His personal love to me, pure and dying to the end. Great floods cannot grant it. Time it is come, make it fade. Withstands various trials and tests. It never failed my heart to gain. His personal my drive through all my life. When I'm despair, His love comforts me. His love overcomes all things. Rich, colorful, tender and soft. I'll boast of His love. His personal love to me, sweet and warm than gives me hope, shares in my life sorrows and joy, gives me courage and gives me faith, fills my heart like a living spring. In His bosom may I stay.
I hope you have time to quiet yourself and respond to Him, or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to be with Him face to face. You can stop the recording. We'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following Him, because they saw the signs that He was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, The feast of the Jews was at hand. Lifting up his eyes, then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they want. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who have eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. If a title is to be given to the Gospel according to John chapter 6, "The Lord is the Bread of Life" would be the main theme for the entire chapter. For it begins with the story of the Lord Jesus healed many sick people in Galilee. Then he came to Bethsaida and performed a miracle. It was recorded in 4 Gospels that 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding 5,000 people. This number was only the number of the male, not including the women and children. Thus, it was estimated that the number of people who have experienced this miracle exceed 10,000. It can be said the repetition of the Lord Jesus was at the peak. Let us imagine if 10,000 people experienced this miracle and it was spread. Truly, it would be powerful. Moreover, this miracle was written in all 4 Gospels, and this was the only miracle that can be found in all 4 Gospels. As you can see, that this miracle was very important, as all of you should be familiar with the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish. As I have mentioned, a particular place named Bethsaida, which was only written in the Gospel according to Luke, where this miracle occurred. Why do I mention Bethsaida? For this place was the hometown of Jesus' disciples, Peter, Andrew, and Philip. Because Philip is the one I like to share to you today, I can see the personal love of the Lord for me through Philip. Hence, we're not focused on this miracle, but on how the Lord loved Philip. How does he love each of us? Well, let's come back to chapter 6. As we mentioned before, after this miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish, it can be said the repetition of the Lord Jesus has reached its peak. Even those people thought that Jesus was the prophet who Moses prophesied and promised to rise. Because God sent manna to feed the Israelites in the wilderness when Moses led them out of Egypt. And the same, Jesus could feed the people. Truly, he was similar to their great leader Moses. Thus, some people liked the Lord Jesus to be the king and forced him to be the king. But the Lord Jesus didn't accept. In chapter 6, verse 15, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Remember, let's read the whole chapter of chapter 6, and this matter is not over yet. Jesus saw these people continue to come to support him. However, the Lord Jesus revealed motives in their hearts. In verse 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because she ate your field of the loaves. In fact, they came to find Jesus not that they saw miracles or they wanted to know God, but they were full. Thus, the Lord Jesus told them what people need was the bread of life and to work for the food that endures eternal life. They didn't see what was more important. Which is more important, fresh or life? Definitely, it is life. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Yet it is said in the first letter to Corinthians that both would be destroyed. That means food, stomach, and our body are not forever. And the Lord Jesus spoke to the people, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures eternal life." That is to say, these foods will give us life, and it is eternal life. In chapter 6, verse 48, the Lord Jesus states clearly that he is the bread that came from the heaven. He is the food of life. Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And in verse 63 mentioned, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Hence, he is the bread of life. We shall enjoy him, not bite him with our mouths. It means to enjoy his words, to enjoy his provision for our lives, to enjoy being close to him, just like eating, and absorb it into our flesh and bones. And we should enjoy the Lord spiritually to the extent that he affects our lives in order we have eternal life. Do you remember what eternal life is? Eternal life is not just to live forever. What is the meaning of living forever that you struggle to breath and seriously ill? The most crucial is the connotation of eternal life. Lord Jesus explained it clearly. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Do you remember? The eternal life is about knowing God, experiencing God, and enjoying God, to be with God closely. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 6 is fairly long, for there are 71 verses. Yet its meaning is coherent. Hence, it's best to read the whole chapter in one go. As I've mentioned at the beginning, if you have to give the title for chapter 6, this title is so essential that the Lord is the bread of life. He's the food of eternal life. I've chosen verse 1 to 15 to share with you. For what attracted me most in a miracle this time was the love of the Lord for Philip. Let us imagine there were thousands of people who had nothing to eat and were hungry. It was a huge problem. But truly, the Lord was awesome. He took advantage of the difficulties to help Philip to grow. We see that the Lord has not forgotten Philip, and it was a big help to Philip through this matter. Shall we read verse 5 and verse 6 again? Lifting up his eyes, then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" Verse 6. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. As you can see, the situation was the Lord Jesus saw that many people had a big problem. How to solve the problem of food? And the Lord asked this big problem to Philip, where he could buy bread for these people to eat. Many people said it was normal to ask Philip, for he was from Bethsaida. Thus, he must be very familiar with the place. Hence, it was normal to ask him. So you know, when you read in verse 6, the Lord Jesus intended to test Philip through this incident. He asked this question to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. So the Lord already had plans and arrangements in mind. But he liked to test Philip through this incident. Many people, as well as those exegetical books I have read, were very concerned about whether Philip passed this test or not, or quite a number of people thought Philip had failed the test. However, I don't think it is a question of whether he passed or not, and there is no such thing as passed or not. I think the most crucial is what was the purpose of the Lord Jesus testing Philip? For there was a purpose for the Lord to test Philip. The Lord Jesus understood how Philip was like. It seems that Philip was relatively quiet and rational. He was a thinker and prudent. I don't know if you agree with my thoughts or not. It was already a good training for the Lord Jesus who asked Philip how he could handle this matter and have given him the opportunity to give his opinions and learn to take the initiative. Do you agree? Hence, we really have to know what was the purpose of the Lord Jesus in testing Philip, for the purpose will tell us the motive of the Lord. Did the Lord test Philip because of love? The answer is yes. Because if you look at this experience, it was just like all kinds of experiences in our life. It can be said that it was a test, and it was from God. Then, let us take a closer look at all the tests we encounter in life from God through the test of Philip. God tests a person not because he does not know what that person is like, or he doesn't know how to do. Man may need to do a lot of experiments, for they don't know the outcome and they can't control the outcome. As they don't know, they have to perform the testing. But God understands us all. He knows us well and he tests us not because he doesn't know. In fact, God knows us very well. He even knows the most difficult thing. What is the most difficult matter to know? It's not the science. It's not mathematics. It's not astronomy. The hardest things to know is the heart of man. But the Bible mentioned many times that God knows the hearts of all. Truly, God surpasses time and space. He can tell from the beginning and what will happen in the future. Well, since God knows everything, then why does he test men? God is love. The motive of God is love. First of all, God knows whether we will fail or not. Yet, we ourselves don't know whether we will fail or not. If we don't undergo the testing, we won't know our real intention. I believe you will all agree that when certain tests come, will we be able to pass them? We will understand ourselves better. The better we understand ourselves, the better we understand that we must trust in the Lord. And we will learn to come before the Lord, drawing close to him and relying on him. Truly, God loves us and likes to be the closest to us, but he doesn't force us. Hence, God will test us in order we know our situation, we know better how to trust in him. And it turns out that we can't live without him. Our spirits are not happy and peaceful without the Lord. These spiritual truths can be revealed through this test. Thus, the Lord gives us testing not because he doesn't know us. It's because he really wants us to know ourselves and his heart to us. What a precious motive. Have you ever heard of some students who like to take exams? The reason is that they would be able to know what they have learned and to what extent through the examinations. They find that the exam is good for them. Let us encourage one another. There are many tests in our life, yet they are not frequent. There may be a big trial occasionally. There are some small tests sometimes. In fact, all these are for our good. Hence, I'm going to talk about the second purpose of God's testing. Not only God's like us to know, but he likes to train us through trials and make our lives more glorious. Job said once that he was in great trial at that time. In Job chapter 33 verse 10 said, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." Job said this in the Old Testament. Peter also said in the New Testament, in the first letter from Peter, chapter 1, verse 7, "So that the test genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it is tested by fire, In fact, one of the reasons why God tests us is to make our faith more glorious and treasurable, to exercise our faith so that we can overcome and more than conquerors. As you can see, God tests us because God has confidence in us and He wants us to be more and more glorious, making our lives more brilliant. Therefore, when I read the Gospel according to John chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, when the Lord Jesus asked Philip what he would do, "If I were Philip, I would feel so honorable." Aha! I was the only one who was asked by the Lord for opinion among the disciples. I would not be doubt about the Lord Jesus who likes to embarrass me or make me lose face. Instead, he appreciates us and has confidence in us, so he tests us. Brothers and sisters, therefore, it's good to be tested. We don't need to be afraid when we trust in the Lord, and He will give us the sufficient wisdom and ability to face our trials. I encourage you to draw closer to the Lord when you're in a trial and to shout for joy and have thanksgiving more. Thirdly, it is a blessing for God to test us. It's like a kid getting good grades in an exam, and they will be rewarded by their parents. In the letter of James chapter 1 verse 12 said, "For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." As you can see, the things throughout the ages were the same. After the victory of Abraham, God immediately appeared to him and rewarded him with great blessings. And I find God loves to bless us. Truly, He likes to bestow great blessings on us, justifiable and not secretly. God will bless us through trials and testings, as He can shut the mouths of the enemies. Just like Job, the blessing he received afterwards was twice as good as he had been before. Brothers and sisters, you see how kind was the heart of God toward him? Simply, He likes us to receive doubled and doubled blessings. And the greatest blessings is that He comes to us and be with us. Do you know the most precious things during the trial is the presence of God? This is the greatest blessings indeed. That was what Daniel experienced and his three friends experienced. When they went through great trials, God Himself was with them. They experienced the den of the lions and the fiery furnace they have overcome. But these were not their most treasurable memories. I believe what they treasure most was those moments when God was with them. The presence of God has not left them, for He loved them. And these were their sweetest memories. Brothers and sisters, I believe you and I have both gone through different trials. And in these trials, do you feel that the presence of the Lord is the most precious? Lastly, I'll share the fourth purpose of the testing of God to us. It's because God likes us to be glorious and let us be the good examples for the future generations. In order, we're on the list of the heroes of faith as the continuation of the letter to Hebrews chapter 11. It's so amazing and awesome. If there aren't those heroes of faith to set an example for us, and there were no witnesses, then we have no example to follow. We wouldn't know how to go without a role model. It's so precious. Abraham, David, and other prophets throughout the ages, the great men of faith, have become the role models for us to follow. And today, the Lord has refined our faith through trials. The same, He hopes that we are the help for those who come after us and become an example of their faith. It was so easy for God to test Philip, for the Lord loved Philip and had a personal relationship with him. Brothers and sisters, the Lord will test us as well. He likes to have the most profound love experience, the most personal and unique love with us. Therefore, there are trials. And I find Philip really has made progress after experiencing the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish. As I've mentioned before, he was a relatively quiet person and may not be so proactive. But when it came to the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, I found that there were several Greeks who came to find Philip because they wanted to see Jesus. And Philip informed Andrew to take them all to see Jesus. What did it show? It has shown Philip became an easy person to approach. When people look for Jesus, they would take the initiative to contact Philip and ask him to introduce him to see Jesus. As you can see, Philip became the ambassador of the Lord Jesus. Maybe it was because after the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish, he understood the needs of man from the bottom of his heart. He understood men better and the feelings of man. Hence, he became more friendly and approachable. No wonder Philip was always with Andrew, and they were very similar. They may not be the ones who preach loudly, yet their ministers were solid and brought people to the Lord. Finally, Philip was mentioned in the Gospel according to John chapter 14, which was also the last time to mention Philip. It was when the Lord Jesus had the Last Supper in the cenacle where there was the last words of the Lord. It was so precious that Philip became more proactive. He asked the Lord to show his Father to them and they would be satisfied. This was the desire in Philip's heart. He sought to know God. I dare not to say that the key of changing in Philip was the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yet the progress and growth of Philip must come from all aspects, but we wouldn't ignore the trial of the Lord on him. It is said that Philip, like the other apostles, preached everywhere, and he led many people who originally believed in snake gods to believe in Jesus in the city of Hierapolis in Asia Minor. He destroyed the idol of the snake god, and he was taken to jail and tortured because of that. It is said that he was crucified upside down and died. The Lord tested Philip more than once. It can be said the Lord was still testing him until he died. It's not because the Lord didn't love him. The Lord wants him to be more glorious, and the Lord loved him. The Lord has the deepest personal love for Philip. Brothers and sisters, I hope you can see God has personal love for all of us through the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish and from Philip. This is really important because this is the most crucial reason why we can walk to the end and persist to the end. We have to enjoy to believe the Lord has a unique personal love for us deeply. No one can replace our position in the heart of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's all for my sharing. I hope that you have time to continue to stay in the presence of the Lord and pour out your heart to Him. May you enjoy the precious moment alone and be face to face with the Lord. May the Lord bless you.